Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hello, fellow bereavers. If you have not heard that word before, a bereaver is someone who has had their children torn away from them through death. That comes from the word bereave. The root word is reave, and that's what reave means, being ripped away, violently taken. I felt that way when Becca died. I think you probably felt that way when your child died. So we are bereavers. We are bereaved parents, parents who've had our children torn away from us through death. We are parents who are bereaved of our children. We are bereavers. Now, before I get into today's topic, I want to say two things. First of all, this is the third time I have stopped this recording and restarted it. There is so much noise going on around me. The cat's going crazy. The birds are chirping right outside my window. Golf carts keep going by. And so with all these distractions and extra noises, I have restarted this three times now. So at this point, I think instead of just restarting things, you may hear some background noise in this one because I'm just going to keep going past the noises at this point. The second thing is that I want to ask you to do something for those who are looking for hope, just like you were when you lost your child from this earth. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast, especially if you're listening to it on Apple or Spotify, because it helps GPS Hope support more parents just like you, moving them toward a place of hope and learning how to live a life of meaning and purpose again. Go to the main podcast page, not this individual episode page, but back up and go to the main podcast page, scroll to the bottom and tap to rate it with 5 stars, hopefully, and then select write a review. And then be sure to let others who are looking for raw and real help know what you love most about this podcast. The more positive ratings and reviews this podcast has, the more it gets moved up in the search engines and the more bereavers will find it, which means you will be a grieving parent sharing hope. If you would pause and do that right now, that would be great because we all know how our grief fog will keep us from remembering to do it later with good intentions. So let's go ahead and dig into today's topic. We are going to talk about one little word that I think every single one of us has cried out after our child died, and that is the word why. Why did this happen to my child? Why did this happen to our family? Why didn't God stop it? Why didn't I do something differently so they'd still be here? We both know how desperate and endless those questions can feel. But over the years, I have learned that why may not be the question that will bring us healing. As a matter of fact, I am positive that continuing to ask why just keeps us spiraling and spinning. I have found that there is a much better question that we can be asking God, one that actually opens the door for His love to reach our hearts in the middle of our deep pain. Now, when we are in that deep, raw grief, why feels like the only question that matters. We're hurting so badly, and it just doesn't make sense. But the truth is, most of the time, God is not going to answer that question of why, not here anyway. And even if He did, honestly, I don't think any of us would feel like His answer of why would be a good enough reason. The pain is too much for us. We have a limited understanding. He sees things from the view of eternity. We don't have that view. And we would probably just argue with Him about why His reason wasn't good enough and why our child should still be here with us instead of there with Him. Am I right? I want to share with you something that I often share at our GPS Hope and Healing retreats, and it's also in my book, When Tragedy Strikes. Now, this is something I don't remember if I heard it or I read it, but it said, spiritual blessings come wrapped in trials. Now, when I first heard that, my reaction was, well, losing a child is an awfully deep trial to wrap a blessing in. And God's unexpected answer to my heart was, I know, because my son died and it was wrapped in the blessing of you. I'm going to say that again. When I told God that losing a child is an awfully deep trial to wrap a blessing in, God spoke to my heart and said, I know, because my son died and it was wrapped in the blessing of you. Now, that pretty much stopped me in my tracks. It may have you as well. We are in so much pain that our souls take over, and we live from that place for quite some time as we struggle to allow ourselves to live from our spirits, from the Spirit of God living inside us. We live from our soul. We live from the pain in our soul, and we struggle to live from a spiritual place that will bring peace and comfort and hope. Now, when God spoke this to me, I decided right then and there that I was going to be like Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, when he wrestled with the angel and he refused to let go until he received a blessing. I decided I was going to fight for the blessings that God said he still had for me, that he still has for me. Which is around the same time I realized that I had to ask a different question instead of why. Now, I want to back up to over 40 years ago now. When Dave graduated from college, at that time, local colleges were turning out so many computer majors. Computers were just coming onto the scene of, you know, businesses and such. Local businesses were only hiring people with experience. They told him, go to Chicago, go somewhere to a big city that hires people without experience, get your experience, and then come back here if you want to live in this area. Now, he interviewed, and if I remember correctly, he actually got an offer for working for the Pentagon. But he wanted to stay in this area because he had met a certain young lady that he wanted to propose to and settle down with and live locally with both of their families, or should I say our families. The only job offered to him locally in his field as a new college graduate from computer science major was being hired as the only programmer at a nonprofit organization. As a matter of fact, they had no computer department. It was nonprofit. They wanted to start a computer department, and so they hired him. Now, because it was a nonprofit, the pay was really low, and we struggled a bit, even with my working as well. We met working at Arby's. He was working his way through college, and I was working there as a high schooler. So I was still at Arby's, and he was now working for this nonprofit. And the question was, why? Why were so many computer majors making all this money? But he wasn't. Now, he didn't go into the field to make money. He went into it because he's got this analytical mind, and computers fascinated him. But the question was still there. He was not making the money that was supposed to come, the salary that was supposed to come with having this kind of a major. Now, that job, though, came with excellent medical insurance. And that's something we did not realize was going to actually save us when Becca was diagnosed with cancer at only 3 years old. 9 months of chemo, having her little leg amputated, all those hospital stays, it was over $500,000, over $500,000 of medical bills. Now, remember, this was back in 1987. I cannot imagine what that is like now. But our out-of-pocket cost, because the medical insurance was so good, was only around $1,000. I mean, that bill, if we didn't have insurance that covered that, we could still be trying to pay that off or had to go bankrupt, not being able to pay it, whatever. But God had provided for us before we even know we needed it. When Dave accepted that low-paying job, we couldn't see him. We didn't know the bigger picture, but God did. He knew what was coming, and he had already made provision for it before we even knew that we needed it. And that experience taught me something. We don't always know the why, but we can trust God, who sees what we cannot see, and he knows what we do not know. So, if why doesn't really get us anywhere, what should we be asking instead? Well, it's another little short three-letter word, I have learned to ask God, how? How are you going to get me through this? How are you going to help me want to even live again? How could you possibly bring something good from something so horrible that that verse people throws at me? Well, God works everything out for good, right? How are you possibly going to give me a life of meaning and purpose again without my daughter here? And I often sense him saying, I am glad you asked. Let me show you how. God delights in answering the how question. That's where his presence meets our pain. It's in the how that his love starts to seep into the cracks of our broken heart and where we begin to see spiritual blessings even in the middle of the loss. Remember that phrase that spiritual blessings often come wrapped in trials? Ephesians 3:20. Can be a rough verse. Let me talk about this for a minute. It tells us that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or imagine. Now, before Becca died, I thought of that verse in terms of exciting, happy possibilities for my kids, for myself, for whatever ministry or whatever. But now I see that verse in a completely different way. When you are in that suffocating darkness and you can only imagine more darkness, a lifetime full of darkness, God can imagine something different. He can imagine more than you can imagine. He can see hope. He can see purpose. He can see light, the things that you can't see yet. A similar verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9, says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I used to think that meant that God was going to shower me with blessings, but now I see it the same way as Ephesians 3:20. I see it as God's promise to those of us who are in this dark pit, that he is preparing something that we cannot comprehend yet, and it will be good. I know some of you listening are still in that place where you can barely breathe. You're just trying to make it through the next hour, through the next minute. But here's what I want you to hold on to. The why may never get answered here, but the how will. So ask him, God, how are you going to bring life into this death that I feel inside? And then hang on like Jacob did, like I did, saying, I am not letting go until you bless me, until I can start seeing some of the things that you are seeing that I can't see in this darkness. Because he will. And when he does, it's not going to erase the pain of the loss, but it will bring life again. It will ease that pain. You'll learn how to live around that. It will become an undercurrent in your life, not the crashing waves that send you under and just gasping for air. And eventually, you will find yourself not just barely surviving, but slowly living again with blessings that you never could have imagined. And this will not be in spite of your child's death, but it will be because of his or her life and because of the life that God still has for you to live. Have you ever thought about parents in the Bible who've lost a child? I did, and I did a study on this quite a while back, and I'll often share about some of these parents in workshops or at our GPS Hope and Healing retreats. So I finally decided to put my thoughts and observations and what I have studied about bereavers in the Bible into an ebook that I'm working on right now. Hopefully it will be available by the end of this month, but I just wanted to let everybody know that it's coming, a book that shares about looking at parents in the Bible who have lost a child and what we can learn from them. I mean, I had never, boy, it's so eye-opening. When you have been in that place and then you start looking at those who've lost a child in the Bible, it's so amazing the things that we can learn from them. So I am really excited about getting this book out there, and I hope you're excited thinking about getting it and reading it and learning from it. Don't forget to check out the GPS Hope and Healing retreats, And if you want to join us for a weekend in Cocoa Beach, Florida for the Renew and Remember retreat, you can do that. You can join Dave and I and other Pareavers on a four-night cruise with a one-day at sea dedicated to a grief seminar. All three of these, I will put a link in the show notes. You can find out more about them. I'll just say the GPS Hope and Healing retreat is coming up quickly in October in New York. You can find that at gpshope.org/retreat. And then the weekend in Cocoa Beach, Florida, the Renew and Remember retreat and the cruise, they kind of go hand in hand. You can do one or the other or both. Those are at gpshope.org/cruise. Like I said, I'll put links in the show notes to those. These are chances for you to come and spend time with Dave and I, for us to minister to you directly. It's just opportunities for you, okay? And we're praying that the Lord will open doors again for us to continue doing more GPS Hope and Healing retreats. They kind of had to be put on pause for a while, but looks like they may be starting up again. So with that, let's go ahead and get to this week's birthday segment. Jaden Phillips was born on August 17th and left us at age 18. Keaton was born on August 18th and left us at age 23. Natalie Rodriguez was born on August 19th and left us at age 36. Kevin Zick was born on August 21st and left us at age 33. Hope Catherine was born on August 21st and left us at age 19. Destiny Wood was born on August 21st and left us at age 40. We celebrate the day these children came into the world and into the lives of their families. We know it will always be a special day worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday shared with the other listeners, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out the form, submit it, and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week. And I will put a link to that in the show notes in case you didn't catch that. The suffocating darkness and pain of my daughter's death was definitely more than I could have imagined, like I shared with Ephesians 3:20 and 1 Corinthians 2:9. And it was something that was not great and awesome. It was horrible. But these verses are talking about the mystery of the death of Jesus and how God was going to use it so that our faith would not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power at work in us. That's verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 2. Now that's a real wow. That is much deeper than the shallow, bless me with all kinds of good stuff and I will follow you kind of belief in God. If you give me good stuff, then I'll trust you and believe in you. If you let something bad hit me, then all bets are off. You know, I did my part, you didn't do your part. We talked about that last week. Now, if we go on to verse 12, it tells us that we did not receive the spirit that belongs to the world. Instead, we received the spirit who comes from God so that we could know the things which God has freely given us. So what has God freely given us? Well, I'm going to start with the fact that he has freely given us a chance for eternal life. He has given us a chance to be with him, for our children to be with him forever without all of this pain and disease and suffering and betrayals and chaos that's around us right now. If you're afraid that your child may not be in heaven, if you go to GPS Hope and just put in the search bar at the bottom of the webpage, is my child in heaven or heaven, anything like that, you will find things I've written on that and blogs that we've talked about that, and it will give you peace. I guarantee that. So what are some of the other things that God has freely given us? How about comfort, peace in the storms, or maybe I should say the tsunamis of life that are beyond our own understanding? Pain is in our soul. I said that. Peace is in our spirit. We can have both at the same time. He has freely given us hope if we receive that gift. He has freely given us joy that goes beyond our circumstances. That's something that we have to fight for. He has freely given us triumph and victory over tragedy, which is going to look different for each one of us. And it's more than just a cliche or a verse that people throw at us. It's truth that can rise up in us when we begin to move from living from our soul into asking God to help us to live from His Spirit living in us. The other thing that He has freely given us, which we can all rejoice over, is resurrection power and life from death. Now, I see these verses now in 1 Corinthians 2 and Ephesians 3 that says God can do more than we can ask or think as more of a promise for those of us who have been thrown into a place of deep darkness. It's God's promise that He is going to bring us out of this place in a way that we can't see, we can't hear, we can't even imagine right now. And this new understanding of these verses makes a whole lot more sense to me than using these scriptures as some sort of a you rah rah go God type of verse to be excited about Him being some sort of Santa Claus bringing us all kinds of fun presents. No, it may not seem like it, but God's power is at work in you and in me. Verse 14 reminds us that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So the sooner we make the shift of not looking at things with our natural eyes, but seeing them through the Spirit of God who lives inside us, the sooner we will find ourselves out of the darkness. When we can go from asking why that comes from our soul to asking how, I believe that helps us make that shift into moving more into a place of living from our spirit, which God then can overflow and start healing our broken soul. Will it replace your child being with you? No, definitely not. But God has a way of bringing life from death. And I am talking about our own death that we feel inside of us after the death of our child. You might say resurrection power is one of His specialties. Not only does He bring us back to life, but He has blessings waiting to pour out on each one of us. And yes, that includes you. I know this is a little bit of a longer closing than I usually do, but I just really want to encourage you with this. You may be at a place where you can't even remotely imagine anything good ever possibly coming from the earthly departure of your child, but it can. This is a journey, and it usually takes much longer than we want it to or we even think it should. I remember asking God, telling Him I just wanted to stop hurting so bad. But there is no timeline for this. Keep going. One day, 1 hour, one breath, even one tear at a time. There are still blessings for you in your future. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope. And one last thing, if you did not pause to do a rating and review at the beginning of the episode, please remember to do it right now. Your words just might be the reason another Pereaver starts to listening, receiving the same kind of hope you just received. You can be a grieving parent sharing hope.